Hi, it's Stuart Mitchell again. Yesterday when I did that introductory recording, like I told you, it was the first time I'd ever done it. When we looked at it, we decided that the angle of the camera was a little bit wrong. So we've changed it a little bit today, and hopefully this looks better than it did yesterday. But I'll let you make that decision. There's only so much you can do with the way I look to make anything look better. But I told you yesterday that I view the church somewhat differently than many people do. And I wanted to spend a few minutes with you today talking about why I view the church differently than other people do. And it all revolves around a really simple principle, I think. And that is my belief that Jesus actually meant what he said when he said that he is sending us into the world in the same manner that he was sent into the world. He thinks, like, acts like, talks like, behaves like a son of God. And his mode of operation is that he never does anything except first he sees the Father doing it. He never says anything except first he hears the Father say it. So all of his talk and all of his behavior is spiritually based. Now, if you've read the Gospels at all and gotten to know this fellow Peter, who spent a lot of time with Jesus, one of the things you have to admit about Peter was that he was rough, tough, somewhat crude, brash, but he was a man's man all the way. When he was on a fishing boat, everybody knew that he was the big guy in charge, and he was tough. But Jesus became his friend. He chose to follow after Jesus. Now, can you possibly imagine a guy like Peter not before even he had really been transformed by the presence of Jesus? Can you imagine him choosing to follow someone who didn't know who was playing in the World Cup or who was playing in the Super Bowl of American football? He simply wouldn't have followed a guy who was not man's man enough to keep track of what was going on in whatever was the world of sports of his day. So when we look at Jesus only doing what he saw the Father doing, only saying what he heard the Father saying, we certainly cannot conclude that Jesus was all about just religious talk. In fact, if you look at Jesus' speech patterns, you see that he was talking about things that were common in everyday life. He was talking about how a woman sweeps her house. He was talking about how a shepherd raises sheep. He was talking about how a farmer sows seed. He was talking in terms that even a group of people described by their peers as a group of drunken, ignorant fishermen, they could understand him. He was popular with the lower class of people of his day. The drunks and the whores were his friends. And the religious leaders, they acted more like his enemies than they did like his friends. So we need to understand that when I talk about our becoming like Jesus, sent to do what Father is doing, and say what Father is saying. I'm not talking about becoming so super religious that we can't really communicate with real people. Rather, I'm talking about getting so in tune with what the Holy Spirit is speaking from Father's heart that we are continuously online with Him. In that world of living online with the Holy Spirit, we have a continuous open connection with the heart of the Father. In Corinthians, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit as being the one who bears witness in our hearts to what is in the heart of the Father. And as you grow in that, you'll find it's just absolutely fun to sit down in a coffee shop and look around you and just listen to the Holy Spirit tell you what is in Father's heart for each of the people sitting around you in the room. Or to walk down the street and watch the pedestrians who are coming towards you and to hear what the Father's heart is for each of those people as you walk past them. You'll find yourself praying some fascinating prayers for people as you bless them just in passing them on the street. So we're talking here about moving into a realm, into a reality in which we function foremost spiritually, but not religiously, spiritually. For us to begin to admit that spiritual reality is more important even than the physical reality around us, that we actually come to the place where we recognize that whether I remain physically alive or not is not very important. What's important is whether I remain in connection with my Father God. And then, as He would direct us, also to remain in connection with the brothers and sisters in Christ that He connects us to. This view of the church, which is a view of the church as being about relationships, not about rituals, not about meetings and services, but about relationships. Now, you can find relationships with people who go to meetings. It's not that there's anything wrong with meetings. It's not that there's anything wrong with organizations, unless the meetings or the organizations become a substitute for the relationship that God desires for you to have. Tragically, much of what calls itself the church has begun to function more on the basis of meetings and programs than it does on the basis of relationships. In fact, in some of those organizations, it is almost discouraged that you develop real close personal relationships with people. I mean, consider. In Hebrews chapter 13, we're told that whoever teaches us the word of God, we should look at his life and consider the outcome of his conduct. And then don't imitate the man, imitate his faith. Well, however could you imitate my faith if I don't allow you to become so close to me that you can distinguish between what is my faith and what is my flesh and what's just my foolishness? And seriously, anyone who knows me well knows that there is some foolishness and there is some flesh in addition to that which comes from faith. Now, I would love to be able to say that I'm all faith, but I haven't graduated yet. When I get put into that crematorium and turned to ashes or into the box, whatever my kids decide, I hope that when I graduate, that I will be all faith. But until then, I know that I still have to grow. And we're all in the growing business. I'm learning new things even today about how to be a follower of Jesus. And I will continue to learn new things every day until he takes me home. And perhaps even after that, I don't know. I haven't been there yet. And don't believe anybody who says they have been there and they do know, because none of us really know completely what's going to happen when we get there. So I'm looking to find relationships in the church. First and foremost, of course, intimate personal relationships with Jesus as the king of this kingdom. But secondarily, but not very far behind, also relationships with the other people who follow Jesus. In Ephesians, we're taught something. It's that the body of Christ, the church, the bride, builds itself up in love when the joints are working properly. And see, in our body, we have joints where one member connects with another member. And if there is no joint here, then my finger won't work properly. If there's no joint here, then my hand cannot be in the proper position. If there's no joint here, then my arm can't feed my body. So the body of Christ, like the physical human body, gets built up when the joints are working properly. If you've ever been friends with someone who suffers from severe arthritis and their joints don't work properly, you know how crippled they are and how much they need someone else to take care of them because the joints just don't work properly. Well, in the body of Christ, the scriptures tell us that the body only works right. It only grows up in love, becomes like Jesus when our joints are working properly. Now, what's a joint in the body of Christ? Well, it's just like a joint in your physical body. It's the places where one member of the body is connected to another member of the body, and so there's a joint there. That means the two members maintain an ongoing relationship with each other. And they are held together by ligaments, and nerve signals and blood flows through every joint of your body. So those nerve signals, they represent the instructions and word from Jesus to us as his people. And the blood represents the life that comes from the Holy Spirit flowing among his people. So it's spirit and life that is flowing among us when the joints are working properly. I was sitting in a meeting, a lunch meeting, in a small town in Texas in the USA. And we had had a little extra time after I had spoken. And so the master of ceremonies opened it up for questions and answers. And I never forget one elderly gentleman sitting on the opposite side of the room from me said, "Tell me, Stuart, how do you keep in balance your vertical relationship with God and your horizontal relationship with people?" And I paused for a moment to listen to what the Holy Spirit was saying within me. And I turned to him and I said, "Well, sir, what I'd recommend is that you get rid of both of them." stop worshiping a God who lives up there in heaven and start worshiping the God who lives within you in your heart. And stop building relationships horizontally with the whole world and start building relationships with the people that you are connected to in joints in the body of Christ. As we talk about making disciples, as we talk about the nature of the true church, we're going to be talking more about how do we function in these relationships, in these joints. Until then, I love you, and I remain his, thus yours.